The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You know, I grew up in a family that was on the surface, as I said earlier, very accomplished and beautiful, but underneath there were these rivers of silence and secrets, and I was completely out of control. And what happened was I got pregnant.
As the voice of the shepherd to a little black sheep.
Grammy Award winner Ashley Cleveland describes herself as a little black sheep. Next.
Privilege to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. This guest has written a book titled Little Black Sheep. Her name is Ashley Cleveland. She is a Grammy Award-winning musician. She and I have a lot in common in that we both know we're broken and we are broken up and God still likes us and you do. You like me, you're going to like her because you're just getting to know her. But, you know, she and I had alcoholic family members, and we had a lot of hurt. And hurt doesn't just necessarily go away. And she understands addiction. And her story is phenomenal, and her gift. That's why it's been recognized. So I want you to welcome a broken sister, a broken friend. Welcome, Ashley Cleveland, to Life Today. Ashley, we're glad to have you.
Thanks for having me.
You don't seem to be too troubled by the fact that you have been broken. You still feel like you are broken. Why are you not troubled by that?
Because I really feel like that. It depends on which day. Some days I'm really troubled because it's not like my brokenness doesn't leak. Yeah. And sometimes it leaks publicly. And sometimes, you know, I say or do something that I really don't want to say or do in the worst possible time, and I can see. So it, you know, but the truth of the matter is, I think the brokenness is the best part about me. I think it's the best thing I have to offer you or anybody else, because it's the place that, number one, is aware of my tremendous need. So it keeps me really tied to Jesus all the time. It's also, you know, that my family, my parents were both alcoholic, but they were both incredibly beautiful, accomplished people. And so there was a great emphasis on performance and, you know, and leading with your show foot, kind of. And if I'm broken, I'm not worrying about performing or leading with my show foot. I have an empathy and a love for other broken people, which is, you know, I feel like I kind of am on the low road of the gospel. I'm a broken person here to be with other broken people.
Well, you got a lot of company because most people are broken.
I've
discovered the tragedy
that,
is they don't know they're broken or they've given up in their brokenness. They've found a sense of hopelessness in their brokenness, but I don't hear hopelessness in
your
brokenness.
Not at all. I have a lot
Why
of
not?
Joy.
Well, tell me about some of the pitfalls, the stuff that caused you to maybe feel like damaged goods, or where do you get this little black sheep mentality? What is this? I mean, you get this little sheep being pulled up, I guess, out of a pit of despair or something. I don't think they're not hanging because he looks like he's been, huh?
He's being rescued. She's being rescued.
He or she. Yeah. You were the little black sheep, though. You were the one out of sync, out of step.
Yeah, in this instance, I'm the little black sheep. Uh-huh. But you know, I kind of think all of us want to go our own way. So, you know, who's the little black sheep? I kind of think there's more of them than self-identify, let's put it that way.
Yeah, too many of them did it like Sinatra said, I did it my way, and their way is usually not the best way, period.
Yeah, well, in my case, you can count on that. I mean, you know, my best solutions, you know, led to alcoholism and drug addiction, so that was my bright idea.
That was your high road. It was lower than the other one.
But I grew, you know, my family was something of an alcoholic dynasty. My family came off the rails very, very early in my life. My parents divorced. My father was gay, and these this is back in the late 50s, early 60s, when that was something you couldn't, you know, he was very secret about it, so he lived a very compartmentalized life where he had this life over here and this life over here, and so there were, you know, I grew up in a family that was on the surface, as I said earlier, very accomplished and beautiful, but underneath there were these rivers of silence and secrets and things that didn't make any sense to me. And then, you know, eventually I certainly fell into a very deep addiction. And I did not expect to live. I didn't even think I wanted to live because I didn't really know how to live. And also, you know, I'm from the South. I'm from Tennessee, and in Southern culture.
I'm glad you told us we couldn't. Yeah. Well,
in Southern culture, you know, I mean, everybody goes to church because it's part of being from an upstanding family. It's kind of a social identification.
It's kind of sad, really, why many people go.
Yeah, but having a true encounter with Jesus Christ is really not high on the list of objectives.
No, not for a lot of religious people.
No.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know who the Lord was. I thought the Lord was just as into performance as my dad was, you know? I thought that's what he was looking for.
That's where Betty lived most of her life of misery.
Do everything right.
Yeah, exactly.
God will get you.
Exactly. And so, you know, I wasn't up to performing well, but I found that I could perform badly really well. So
were you a performer while you were all messed up?
Well, you know, music. When I found music, that was like a lifeline to me because it was something that I had a natural gift for, and I couldn't even really figure out how I knew what I knew. It was a complete gift.
It was actually a gift from God. And people have gifts from God. They don't know. Every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Absolutely.
And He reigns on the just and the unjust. And if you could just realize, even businessmen and entrepreneurs and people, you don't realize you're creating all this stuff that makes you successful out of the stuff God put at your disposal, created in His image. You can do all this. If you just realize who it is and get that divine connection back in place. Now, all of a sudden, you had a gift, but you were messed up. You were done. You were a black sheep. You needed to be rescued. What happened?
Well, I was playing music, but I was also drinking and using, and I was completely out of control. And what happened was I got pregnant, and I was not married, and I was so terrified that I became immobilized in that. And I didn't want to hurt the baby, but I didn't feel like I could have the baby. I mean, I just didn't know what to do. So I didn't do anything, and I just stumbled through this pregnancy and had, you know, and knew nothing about recovery, knew nothing about help, and had a lot of support from the church, but not many of them knew about recovery or getting help for addiction. And so I had terrible slips in the early parts of my pregnancy, and I was so afraid that the Lord would punish me by giving me a baby with birth defects. I mean, I didn't know. I was just terrified, and I felt that all of the failure that I had dragged through life would come to its end with this event in my life, and it would be the absolute worst thing that had ever happened to me. And but I went through my pregnancy, and my mom did it with me. And when I had the baby, I had a cesarean section, and I was by myself in a recovery room. And my mother had seen my daughter and came in and said, "I've seen her, and she's so beautiful." And my mom left, and I was laying there, and it was as if the Lord parted this curtain and just leaned down and said to me, "You see, I'm not who you think I am." Mm. And I was so overwhelmed by his kindness to me for no good reason, none. And, you know, it was a number of years before I fully recovered. But to me, that was the beginning, because I thought, clearly, I don't know who God is, but this, if this is an indication, where else would I go?
And you've committed your life to him at some point right in there,
I
and you've
do.
Been pursuing him, and then he began to open doors and let you not just not perform, but let you, I'd say, minister, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. He gave me more than I would have ever had the courage to ask for. He gave me an incredible husband. He gave me a family. I have two more children. He gave me something to do with my life, not only through music, but, you know, I have a real heart for broken people, and I have a real heart for addicts and alcoholics.
Have you established a ministry for it?
Mm-hmm.
How would people find out about it if they want to know?
Well, I just, you know, I don't have an official ministry. I just minister
to
people one person at a time, you know?
Okay.
And
no, that's great.
But the book is part of that.
Because everybody can have that ministry. See, that's the ministry all of us should have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just because you pray for somebody to get well, you don't need to go buy a tent and start a healing ministry. You know, you just need to keep doing what you do. People have an idea that ministry means I got to start some organization.
Right.
No, you just keep releasing the river of God's love. That's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God's looking for.
Well, I also feel like he's called me to walk with people.
Yeah.
You know, to really give of my life and my substance. But part of what I wanted to do with the book was say to the church, alcoholism is an illness. It includes plenty of moral failure, but at the heart of it, the power of choice is not there. People have lost that.
Wouldn't that be true of any addiction?
Absolutely.
Could be true of a sexual addiction?
Absolutely.
Of pornography or some kind of drug?
In my opinion, yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you're going to sing a song that you wrote, and the title is?
Little Black Sheep.
All right. Would y'all like to hear that? I would really love to hear it. From a little black sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the boy told the shepherd, there's a fearful storm, so I went out to the fields to drive the flocks home. And I counted every lamb into the keep, yeah, all except for one, that little black sheep. Little black sheep, little black sheep in the howling wind, with no relief in a cold, cold world. Nothing sounds so sweet as the voice of the shepherd to a little black sheep. Oh, that little black sheep, she ain't nothing but trouble. She's not worth much, and she'll cost you double. And the shepherd say he knows, but he won't sleep. He's gonna go out and find that little black sheep. Little black sheep, little black sheep in the howling wind, with no relief in a cold, cold world. Nothing sounds so sweet as the voice of the shepherd to a little black sheep. Was the wandering kind, but the shepherd brought her back every time. And mama say, child, when your pride starts to creep, you best remember we all just little black sheep. Hey, little black sheep, little black sheep. as the voice of the shepherd to a little black sheep. As the voice of the shepherd to a little black sheep.
I don't think I can describe how important that the shepherd is to somebody who feels, you know, down, out, like a failure. I felt that way a lot of times, like I disappointed myself and I had to miss the mark and fall flat foolishly or whatever and just feel... I guess the thing that just jumped all over me while you were singing is just thinking about the shepherd and his voice and his love. I'm overwhelmed by it. And I sense that you are.
Yes, I am. And, you know, how often are you going to have a shepherd that's a lamb, too?
Oh, boy. Boy.
So he knows what our human frailty feels like.
Boy, he took it all for us, didn't he?
Yeah.
Rejection, pain. Separation, loneliness. He really does understand. And I know you understand. And you tell the story, and it's wonderful. In The Little Black Sheep, a memoir. And it's Ashley's continuing story. It's her journey into greater fullness and fruitfulness and continuing brokenness before the Lord, yielded clay, broken up ground to be more productive, no longer fallow. We all need that. Father, I pray it for all of us. I really like painless shaping. I just am not real fond of the grinding process. But I do want to be shaped. But I really want to be in your arms. I want you to pick me up. And I want you to pick everybody up. It feels like they don't have anybody. And I ask you to do it.
Yes.
God's touched your heart. You're watching us today. You've identified with Ashley's journey, maybe her song, maybe her message. But God's reaching out to you, and the telephone number there is a prayer line. It's always there. You know, if you don't want to call now, call later, but call and say, look, I just need this shepherd. I want to get in his arms. And you can call and somebody will help you. I'll send you a simple little introduction to knowing God as Father. It's a real little study guide that kind of shares my own journey, similar to Ashley's. And then tell you some steps and how to kind of get started thinking like a child of the Father and follower of the Shepherd. I just want to say thank you so much. Ashley, we reach out to broken people. By the way, let me just tell you, get this in the bookstores and get her music. Go online and you know, find her online and just say, find out where she's going to be. Maybe you get her to come to your area and share that journey. Ashley, we're going to let our viewers see something that in many ways is as moving as what you just sang, because it's an image, is a reality. It's like, you know, a picture says more than 1,000 words. Mm-hmm. And then actions speak louder than words. These pictures, I promise you, they'll move you to the right kind of action. So look closely. Boy, I don't ever want to reach a time in my life that those images don't move me beyond my ability to even adequately describe. Betty, my mind just racing back over those little images, that little boy that was just covered with that skin, that's just that old skin disease, like the skin's rotting off his little emaciated body. And I can't even tell you, because I've done it so many times in so many places, how much I wanted to just pick up that little boy and fix him. And love that never fails is what fixes it. All he needs is some nourishment. And there was a little child there, so we reached out and took somebody's hand. And I thought, boy, I'd like to be that hand. I don't know what you see when you see Jesus on the cross, his hands extended. But I do see him saying, I love you this much. And I see him extending his hands, nail pierced for me, to my hurt, to all the pain. I find him as the one person who never looks beyond my need. He never looks beyond my pain. He sees both and he meets it. Betty, we can help those children. We saw the missionary handing that little bowl. We're the ones that provide the bowls, and we put the food in it for the missionaries and relief workers to share.
And something that really stuck in my heart as I was watching along with you was at the end, the statement said, mission feeding saves lives. It's yours to give. We have it right here in our hearts, in our hands, the opportunity to save the lives of these precious children. They don't have a chance, many of them, if we don't reach out and love them and give them hope.
And I believe with all my heart in this season of giving, God gave his great gift to us, the gift of life. The life that we fully experience by freely sharing it. I believe you're going to do it. This is the last week now that we're going to have this opportunity. We need to hear from every one of you. Some of you have already made a gift. Betty and I have. We're going to give again. Betty and I always give the largest gift we can possibly give at the end of the year. And we know we need to take advantage of year-end giving and take advantage of the blessing that we're allowed to have that credit, which anything you can get from the government, you can call a blessing. You just need to thank God for it. So you can make that gift. And we pray you make the greatest year-end gift you've ever made. And here's the beauty. It'll be doubled. We've got a group of friends that said they'll match everything you give, which means, you know, $100 normally we can, we're able literally to feed 10 children. Now we can feed 20. $1,000, we can feed 100 children. Now it'll go to 200. So whatever you do in its effect, just double the number. $30, 50, or 100, 3, 5, or 10 children suddenly become 6, 10, or 20. It's doubled because somebody says, I believe so much in the program and the mission outreach will match your gift. Would you go to the phone right now and take your bank card and use it like a check? That's how you always use it, like a check. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and say, I want to make the gift today. If you write a check, make it to Life. But call us, please. Let us know your mail in because this is the last week. We really need to hear from you. We need to let the missionaries know we are going to be there. You're not going to be empty-handed. We know your heart's full. You're going to have the wherewithal to meet the need for those children. Would you make that call? Please do it. By the way, if you get busy, you be persistent. You be determined. No one's going to stop me from helping. My action is going to speak a whole lot louder than your words. Would you do it? Thank you so much for making that call. Thanks for giving life.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. But our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need your support to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's friends have set a $550,000 end-of-year matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be doubled to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be doubled to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children will be doubled to help feed and minister to 20 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christine Cain's powerful new teaching series, Moving Past Your Past, on audio CD, along with her book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request both the audio and video series. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children, and you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I treasure all of the bronzes that we've offered. We've got them all. They're in our family room on display because we love the message. This one by Robert Summers, perhaps the greatest sculptor alive today. He does them in love for us to say thank you. This brother feeding his little brother the food that you give him. Get the bronze. It's a commemorative bronze this year, celebrating our 50th anniversary in marriage and ministry. And made it another year. We're heading on 51 now.
That's right.
You'll stay with me, right?
I am. I'm here.
And we want you to make that gift and get the bronze and get the material from Christine. The book, Little Black Sheep, I really pray you'll get it in the bookstores. And I want you to join Betty and me in saying a great big thanks to Ashley Cleveland. Ashley, you blessed us. You're a sweetheart. You're a broken sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank all of you so much for letting us share this time with you. We're honored that you would give us this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Next week, Dr. Don Colbert, Pastor Robert Morris, and Sheila Walsh help you discover the blessings of heaven while living on earth. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.